All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is May 20th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. I have not been outside yet, but I'm sure it's fine. It's May, right? May 20th. It's got to be nice. We've had some rain and some overcast stuff, but for the most part, it's beautiful. And I'm sure today is going to be just the same. I got some stuff to take care of. I actually have to do a client this morning. It's funny, when you change your business or close down a business and take on a new adventure, we become awfully willing, right? And I'm sort of in that mode right now. I'm busy. I'm not even sure if I would even know if a client left me, but right now at this point, it's been very good. But you know, the fear still lingers, right? The fear still is back there. And, I'm in that place where I'm like, ah, oh, man, I gotta take everybody. Cause I don't know. They may not keep coming. So, it's actually a client of mine's daughter who I've done for a long time. And so I am squeezing her in this morning, and then I have to be up in the state for a dentist appointment. And then, yeah, that's about it. But those two things are kind of a big deal. So I just thought maybe I would come up and chat a bit. It is Monday, back to a new week. Yeah, I just wanted to see maybe start off on the right foot, right? Started off on the right foot. I did go to that meeting last night or yesterday, and it was awesome. The guy was celebrating 42 years, and man, he had two cakes and a ton of people and a card, and it was just really, really cool to get to see that and get to be part of that. It was funny. I don't know if I've ever met the guy, but 42 years means he's been around a lot, and so I must have. That is one of the strange things. You can absolutely be sober with a bunch of people and never run into each other because we all sort of run in our own little loops. Excuse me. You know, I used to be more of an evening guy for meetings. A day meeting or a morning meeting was completely out of the question. Today, I'm trying to add a few little afternoon meetings, maybe a morning meeting. But we all run in different circles, and it was also cool. I ran into another friend of mine who was married to a buddy of mine, was one of the early people that I got sober with. And I had not seen him. And I asked her, I said, well, how's he doing? She goes, I had to divorce him. I'm like, oh my God, why? She goes, because he was freaking so dry.
Haze, but my, oh my,
Killers. I think it's going to be a Killers kind of week, maybe. I love the Killers. I forgot how awesome the Killers are. That is Change Your Mind, the Killers. And, yeah, I guess he couldn't change his mind. But it's funny because it happens. A lot of people, man, get dry. A lot of people come in and stay dry. And what that means, I think, what I've gathered, I've been dry, right? And there is something that's just sort of the sort of magical that happens to a person in recovery when they are working a program. I don't know if it's the inconvenience. I don't know if it's the Jesus. If it's the relationship with God. I don't know what it is, but I know that when a person stops going to meetings and stops working a program, they dry up. They dry up. Hold on. Oh, God, sorry. It's a little early. but, yeah, they just sort of dry up. And I've done it. I've dried up. And it's sad, and it's lonely, and it is sometimes not easy to recognize for the person that it's happening to. And but it definitely is a problem for people that get time. You know, I said this the other day, you know, one of the worst enemies of recovery is time. And people are like, what? How can that be? Just because you get time does not guarantee anything. It just guarantees that you have another day, but it does not make you any better. It does not make you any more, you know, resistant to going back out. I mean, it definitely helps. You got to put the time in, but you also got to partake in the program, right? You have to work with others. Having had this spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, now our only job is to be there for the next alcoholic. It says it. It knows. The program knew. They knew. They knew that if we weren't still participating in this program, we would dry up. And we become very miserable. You know, you've had a taste, right? And I said, I asked her, how's he doing? How's my buddy? She goes, oh, we've been divorced. I'm like, oh, my God. And she goes, he graduated. And I go, oh, I get that. And that does happen. And, you know, people ask me, why do you go to so many meetings? And I go, because I have to be there for the next person. I really, you know, I've been sober and not going to meetings. You know, before the pandemic, I was not going to meetings. I wouldn't say I was dry. I wasn't like, you know, pissed off. I just had sort of gotten into a place where I'd lost gratitude. I'd lost my appreciation, right? I was going to meetings, but I had sort of become a little bit cynical. I was looking at other people, being a little bit judgmental, right? Looking down my nose, and I just lost my way. And it's like God said, okay, fine, no more meetings for you, and took the meetings away. And yeah. And when I was just talking to my buddy Bruce about this. When we came back, I may have even said in the podcast, when we came back from the pandemic, you know, there was this meeting that I had been to during the pandemic. You know, it's always, after the meetings were taken away, it's like, oh my God, right? I mean, I was probably, you know, once the dust had settled, right, I was like, okay, well, I could really go for a meeting now. And they were all closed, and they were doing Zoom, which I never did. I should try, but I hadn't done them. Didn't do it. And and then this long neck meeting opened up one night, and I went, but you had to wear masks, and it's so weird. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm so grateful. And then that meeting started to open up without the mask. And I remember the first meeting I went to with no mask, and everybody was like, it wasn't only like we were had the masks off, but everybody was like, you know, how are you, right? And it was sort of this group of people that has sort of stuck together up to this point in that meeting. That's my home group. And I said this the other night. I go, you know, I don't know how, whatever, however much time you have, it all feels like we all sort of started that day when we came back to the meetings from the pandemic without masks. It was all like a starting point for all of us, whether you had 20 years or 2 days, right? It seems like that was the real kicking off point. And, but man, it was, I will not stop appreciating these meetings. I am, you know, I've always been told you got to go to meetings. Meeting makers make it. And, so I've always gone, but I started getting there a little closer to 8, right? You're leaving a little quicker past 8 or past 9. And you can start to feel it. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you're skipping a meeting. You know, my wife, her and I went out on Friday night, and she's like, why don't you, can't you just stay home with me? And I go, yeah. But I said, I didn't expect you to try to talk me out of going to meetings. And she goes, I'm not talking you out of going to a meeting, but you're going on Sunday too. And she's right. I just sort of added a fourth meeting in. And I was like, you know what? That's fine. But it always starts off like that. I'm just super aware of it today. But it is, if you do not go, you become dry. And a miserable dry drunk is the worst, because they become victim-y, right? And it's hard to deal with people like that. And I haven't really ever dealt with somebody that's dry, to be honest with you, because they're not hanging out with people that are in the program, right? They're just sort of on their own. They've become sober and too smart and a know-it-all, right? Because if you're working a program, you hopefully would say, I don't know everything, and I'll just keep my mouth shut. But when you become dry and you're sort of surrounded by these your people, right, all of a sudden you become a know-it-all. And, you know, my daughter got mad at me. She's like, you know, you think you know everything. And she may be sort of right. I don't think I know everything, but I just assume that I need to explain everything. And I talked about this the other day, how I told her she should take an Advil instead of Tylenol because it was easier on her liver. I don't even know if that's true. But I have heard, like, Tylenol's bad for your liver. And she's like, you think you know everything? I was like, yeah. And she's sort of right, right? I don't mean to be a know-it-all, and I definitely don't know it all. But I think it's just, as a dad of little kids, you're always just trying to explain. And I need to recognize that, right? And so she asked me if I would make her something last night, and I said, yeah, and I started to make it, and I was starting to explain. And I go, you know what? I'm not going to explain it, because you said that, you know, I'm too informative. And she laughed. And so I said, I'll just make it, and, you know, if you want to know something about it, I'll let you know what I think I know. But I think that happens, man. You get sober, and then all of a sudden you get your little crew, and, you know, we can become a know-it-all. And I don't, you know, I don't want to be that. But I know I'm not dry because it didn't offend me, right? It didn't offend me. And I don't know. It's weird. It was great to see the guy celebrating 42 years yesterday and listening to him. And, you know, I swear to God, there's been some people that have been talking about this spiritual awakening, right? And you can just hear, you could hear all of 42 years in his share, right? He talked about, you know, living this life, no fear, and the spiritual awakening, and, you know, this place of peace. And it's just, it's amazing, right? It is amazing if we really get serious and work these steps, what they will give us. And sometimes what they give us are, in the end, we end up with seems like less than what we started with, because we don't care about having as much, right? It's almost like, it's not important that I'm part of that, right? It's none of my business what that person says. You know, and I think that's when you start seeing someone become dry, when they start making their business somebody else's, right? And they start becoming that know-it-all, and they lose that humility. yeah. So it was great to hear him. 42 years is freaking crazy. And what was funny, too, is he said he got sober at 38. I got sober at 38. Which I thought was awesome for now. Hopefully, you know, I don't have to have another sobriety date, but, and, you know, for today, it is what it is. But, you know, the journey's been great this second time around, and just super happy about that. It is a new week. I did talk last week a little bit about step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Can you come to believe that? Over time, right? I mean, obviously, I think the third step, where it starts to talk about, you know, we turned our will, thinking, and our lives' actions over the care of a God of our understanding. You know, this to me, you know, I don't know how long it was before I started to understand that when I did good things and I made humble decisions was the beginning of a relationship, right, with a higher power or God of my understanding. I did not understand that. I just thought it was ask and get. Ask and you shall receive. And I was asking, but I wasn't getting, right? I had to start putting some actions. And one of the actions would be just to make better decisions, right? Better choices. And my coach. You know, I had to start putting some actions, and those actions being, right? The actions being a good person, right? I said this the other day. You know, it's just in the end, it's just about being a good person. But that starts to be the actions. You cannot start to get better while you continue to do bad shit. And like I said yesterday, you know, the easy thing is don't drink and don't do drugs, right? Let's just start with that, right? But on the outside, right, when we do that, when I put down the bottle, when I put down the drugs, immediately everybody's like, oh my God, you're doing so great, right? There's a friend of mine right now who is struggling with alcohol. And I mean, I thought she was dying, right? She looked like she was dying. This person looked like they were dying. And I've known this person a long time. And I was like, oh my God. I had done a few podcasts with this person and I could tell alcohol was big time going on. And now I just recently reconnected with this person and my God, they look like they're dying. They're just withering, right? And it's been a rough path. And when we sort of reconnected, you know, I think this person might have had a couple days, right? But this person hasn't been drinking, right? Has sort of put a plug in the jugs, another try. And immediately, you know, when this person stops drinking, everybody's like, man, you're doing so good. Look at you doing so good. And they are doing good. They're not drinking, right? That is a big one. But eventually, we got to do more. Right, we got to be better in other things, but the other things aren't as obvious, right? And we're not getting so much praise for those, right? Being honest, right, is one of them, and all the other little character defects. But you know, but people are already patting you on the back. Look how good you're doing, man! Look how good you're doing, just because you're not drinking. Sometimes we can get caught up in that, like, oh wow, look at this! I'm all of a sudden better, and we can lose our focus, right? But it's having to do making those good decisions to reflect our life on the outside and on the inside. And that's where the tough stuff comes in. But until we start building that new relationship, doing those new actions, having that new life in that third step, I don't know if we can start to understand that second step, right? And like this guy said last night, he goes, all I did in my first year was the first three steps. One, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three. And I get that. I absolutely get that because, you know, my sponsor told me, sit down and shut up. don't even mumble the word the steps, right? Just sit down. Don't freaking drink. Don't do any drugs. Come to a meeting every day. Call me and just shut up. Those are my directions. But of course, over time, we've evolved and we want to be better and faster. Right. And, you know, now these people want, and I'm sure they always have. It's self-centered. We've always wanted to be better and better, faster forever. Right. It's everybody's going to get this quicker and faster and can't do that. Right. It's about the time. It's about grinding the time, man. And, you know, when these people are already doing the steps, I said, that's fine because I don't want to be the guy that's like, don't do the steps, but really, listen, this is forever. I know that's weird. It's about one day at a time, but you know, I'm going to be working on my sobriety next month. I'm going to be working on my sobriety the month after that. I'm going to be working on my sobriety next year, right? As long as I keep staying in the day and working these steps and working with another alcoholic and just to remind myself, you know, of what I am and what I can be, and I don't want to be dry, right? I'm going to keep doing this. So that's why I say in the first year, honestly, and you know, if someone doesn't like this, tough shit, but don't worry about the steps. This is the best time because you don't have to worry about the step. Don't pick up a drink, right? Start living that third step. The third step, turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. For you, for a person that's new, just don't drink, right? And then hopefully if you're not drinking, immediately there's some other stuff below that that starts to fall off. Hopefully you're not stealing, right? Hopefully you're not abusive. Hopefully we're not doing these bad things that sort of stem from being drunk, right? Like, don't drink and don't drink and drive. And I'm like, okay, well, as long as I don't drink, I definitely will not be drinking and driving, right? So now I'm doing two things, right? But those are all, like I've said in the past, those are all decisions. They're choices. And if we're making good choices, we're starting to build a relationship with something. God, good, happiness, joy. You know, it feels real good when we make a good decision, right? And it reflects our life, right? Whether maybe we've lost our children, right? Maybe we're building a relationship back up with the family, trying to get our kids back in our lives, right? And they only say is, just come by at 1 o'clock and hang out with the child for an hour. And you're like, bam, right? Because back in the day, I couldn't show up at 1 o'clock. Right? I didn't have any kids, but I couldn't even do the little tasks, right? It took a long time to walk into the forest. It takes a long time to walk out, but it's those little tasks, you know, and how many times I've been late, right? And so, you know, if you're trying to build a relationship back up with your kids and it starts off with just visiting at a time, make sure you're right at that time, right? Start doing these little things. Don't drink and show up on time, right? The next, you know, whatever it is that goes on in our lives, but these are little achievements, right? Because we've been doing the opposite for a long time. And, you know, just show up on time, pick up your child, spend the exact time, have grace, right? Be with kindness. Don't be yelling. Don't be acting like a maniac. It's all these little things that we have to do, or I had to do. It's just, it's crazy. But then we start to understand, you know, if we can do that for a year, it's amazing what starts to come back, you know, our spirit. You know, we're not looking for something that we dropped. Everything that we have, we still have. We just have covered it up with self-centered shit. And it's the deciphering and picking through the self-centered shit, getting rid of what we have. You know, it's like this, you know, I talked about, you know, fixing up this room, right? We moved here 2 years ago. This house is just starting to feel like a home, right? Because we're living downstairs, right? We got a living room, we got a kitchen. We're all social, everything's happy, but upstairs, right? It's a mess, and that's fine. But eventually, I got to walk up here. Eventually, I want to use this room. So a couple years later, almost a year and a half later, I came up yesterday and I said, it's time. Right? It's time to open this door and start to do the work up in this room. And I did it. And now, like, I've been up here more times than I have been up in here in the last year and a half. I've been up here 3 days. I came up this morning, vacuumed, right? I start caring about the room, right? Because I'm starting to address it. Right? I got another computer. I got the room nice and clean. I feel like we can use it. I've walked up the stairs and looked in. Just looked in the room. Hi. Great room, right? These things just come slowly, you know, one day at a time. And so I guess the message for me today would be just, you know, chill. Don't drink, right? Let's work on the big three, right? Don't drink. Call your sponsor and go to a meeting every day. That's your three things that you have to do. And I can tell you, if you do that for two weeks straight, there's going to be a voice that tells you you need to do more and you need to ignore the voice. You need to ask your sponsor, man, there's sort of a feeling that I need to be doing more. And your sponsor should say, you know, I mean, ideally go to, you know, 90 and 90, right? Try to get to a meeting every day if you can, if you want, right? If you go to a meeting every day, and talk to your sponsor and don't drink, there's not a lot of room to do more, right? You can be a greeter. You can help clean up. You can stack chairs. But there's it. This is the burden that we have to bear, this boring burden, right, of just going to meetings and just being a good person, right? But do that for a while, you know, and keep talking to your sponsor. But You know, these steps, I don't even think I was not even available for the steps in the first year. You know, I'm the guy that thanked himself. I said that, you know, my first year of my first anniversary, I thanked me, you know, because I thought, I was like, you know, good job. And I do thank myself, you know, my feet have to get me here. I had to drive, I had to show up. But, you know, it's just, it's such a journey. And I just, it's, you know, it can be a little, I don't know. It can can be a little hard sometimes. Excuse me. Let's do the daily reflections, and I got to go to work. Or I have a client. Where is the... been enjoying this, you know, it's weird nowadays because, daily reflection, you know, back when Pearl Jam, you know, everybody knows I love Pearl Jam, and when Pearl Jam came out, man, it was hard to find anything on Pearl Jam, right? It was maybe a magazine or whatever. Today, man, they're doing their tour. They just played Las Vegas second night. Everybody's got a phone. Everybody is documenting these shows, and it is just amazing. I mean, I wanted to go see him in September. Now I'm like, I don't even think I need to. I've seen so many Pearl Jam concerts in the last freaking week. I'm just like, wow. But you know what also has been cool is the Grateful Dead is playing at the Sphere in Vegas. Man, I'm glad I'm not on drugs, but man, that would be some trip. That is some trip what they do with that Sphere. And I don't even know if I could handle it. And I watched these guys last night for some reason on YouTube eating mushrooms and hanging out with elephants. And it was so funny. Oh, I'm glad I don't do that. But yeah, let's see. All right, daily reflections. So I've been just enjoying a lot of Pearl Jam concerts lately. And it's cool. And I shared the other day, it made me very emotional, Eddie singing to his daughter in Portland. I think they played in Portland. And he sang to his other daughter in Las Vegas last night. And it's just so cool, man. And she's crying and she's just loving it. And her dad is freaking Eddie Vedder. And that's just awesome. So, all right. Oh, here we go. Well, this is original. May 20th, one day at a time. Above all, take it one day at a time. Yeah. Above all. So now we got to take it one day at a time, right? Don't drink. Go to a meeting every day and talk to your sponsor. Those are your four things. One day, stay in the day. I mean, I can't tell you how important it is to stay in the day. It is one of the luxuries about getting in recovery is the ability to try to stay in the day. And everything in every fiber of your body will try to tell you not to, but it does help. Why do I kid myself that I must stay away from a drink for only one day? When I know perfectly well, I must never drink again as long as I live. I am not kidding myself because one day at a time is probably the only way I can reach the long-range objective of staying sober. If I determine that I shall never drink again as long as I live, I set myself up. How can I be sure I won't drink when I have no idea what the future may hold? One day at a time basis, I am confident I can stay away from a drink for one day. So I set out. With confidence, at the end of the day, I have the reward of achievement. Achievement feels good, and that makes me want more. That's right. Yeah, man, that's great advice. If people would just, you know, you got to want to be sober, right? If you want to be sober, man, these are all awesome tools. If you're struggling, you know, these tools might help you barely make it through, right? Because, for some reason, even when I got sober, like I didn't have this moment where I was just white knuckling it, right? I got in a fight, I was embarrassed, I got the devil knocked out of me, and that next day I did not want to drink at all, right? And so one day at a time wasn't a problem for me. It would later, you know, over time, when we start to become dry, right, it can happen. But I tell you, when I decided to pick up a drink again, I couldn't stop at all. There was no one day at a time in it. I was drinking one day at a time. And so I've never battled the cravings and the desire to drink one day at a time. But what I do one day at a time is I try to stay out of my head, right? I try because ideally We don't want to get ourselves back emotionally or spiritually in a place where drinking seems like an option, right? And that's where really the one day at a time comes in for me. But, you know, one day at a time not drinking, obviously, and then one day at a time not thinking. And, you know, they're both important. I hope everyone has a great day. I got to go to work. We'll catch you later. Bye.